You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Mistress of None. This is Erin Harkes, and I can't be trusted. I have been saying that I'm trying to get better at making sure that this is a weekly thing, and I am trying. I don't know if you believe me. I don't blame you if you don't. I will tell you that soon I will be making a very big announcement, which will make sense as to why things have been so crazy. I know people see how busy I am. That's something that everybody that I ever talk to comments on more than anything else. Like, you've been busy. Like, even when I haven't been busy, that's just something that everybody says to me when they see me. And so I've actually been busier than you guys even know. But things are going to change. They're actually going to settle down a little bit while I focus on one thing that I'm going to do. And I can't wait to tell you all about it. I'm sorry that I can't tell you yet, but it'll be worth the wait, I promise. So I don't have any guests today. I just wanted to come on and talk to some people because I had a pretty interesting week last week, and it's something that I think is really important to talk about. There's a little bit of a trigger warning for anybody that has ever been through any type of, and I promise I'll still keep it light. It won't be that heavy, but anybody that's ever been through any type of like domestic violence or, you know, assault, especially with a partner, that definitely was kind of brought up for me this week through a completely different experience. And I'll explain. As a lot of you know, I'm no stranger to being trolled on the internet. I mean, everybody has it happen, but I usually have fun with it. I usually just, you know, give it right back to them and go on my merry way. And, you know, sometimes, honestly, I get more engagement from sharing stuff like that. And so sometimes I will kind of like egg it on a little bit, get the engagement that I'm seeking, and then, you know, sneak in a little bit about a show that I have coming up, whatever you got to do to trick the algorithm. Anyway, the one this week happened when I posted about my kids' open mic. And this gentleman who I had never heard of before, I'm going to bring it up because I want to make sure that I'm being as factual as possible when it comes to this lovely man. I'm not going to say his name. I'm sure if you were watching last week, you saw it. I know a lot of people saw it because I had a lot of people messaging me. And everybody was being very nice and kind, and I appreciate that. But again, we're going to get to that too. So underneath this post, anytime I run an ad, I am immediately presented to audience members that I wouldn't normally be, you know, and that's the whole point of running an ad. But that usually results in me getting trolled by somebody in some fashion. And this one, of course, this week under the post, I get, "Go away, you hideous old woman." And it really didn't bother me. It made me laugh. Because, you know, you consider the source, and it's usually from somebody like crazy or gross or whatever. And so, you know, I just went and clicked to see who this person was and how far I wanted to engage. And I noticed that I had a lot of friends in common with him. So I just made like this joke post where I said, I shared what he wrote on my, that what he commented on my fan page. And so I posted on my regular page, I have 200 people in common with this guy. Does anybody know if he's single? Just kidding around, like making light of the guy calling me a hideous old woman. And it was brought to my attention that he is actually a sex offender, level 3. And so I just went back and wrote, "Well, I guess I know why you find me old." And other people started to chime in, and he started to make veiled threats. And I say veiled because I was told later that he knows how to toe the line between free speech and credible threats. So basically, he was seemingly violent with some of the people that were on there that were commenting and going after him, because a lot of people, I guess, knew who he was. My whole point was just to be like, I can't believe I have this many friends in common with somebody like this. And I thought that people should know. I honestly, at that point, was not doing it for attention or engagement. I really just thought that people should know that they were friends with somebody that is capable of doing something like that. So I put that up. And again, it wasn't anything that he could see because it was on my regular page and he was only on my fan page. But by the time I got back to my fan page, he wrote, "You are a terrible performer and just proved you are ignorant. I will be your lifelong enemy and dog your image every chance I get. And when you least expect it, I will be in your horrid face. Promise." And then he went on to say, "All this talk is cheap, Aaron. I will be in your face soon. Say something to me then. I am the last man you will ever insult again." I mean, for somebody who finds me hideous, he really wants to get in my face. And the last man I'll ever insult, I mean, that's hilarious right there. Like, clearly you don't know who I am. And I'm being 100% honest when I say to you, I was not afraid of this guy, and I'm still not. And maybe that's dumb, and maybe that's naive, but I have been through this experience before with people like this, and they're usually all talk. During the pandemic, I had people, just because I was selling masks, make threats towards me. And I was just like, okay, like, I don't know. I just, maybe, again, maybe I, my head's always on a swivel anyway. Maybe I should be a little more vigilant. But I'm not seeking this out. If I post something about a gig that I have or about a mask that I'm selling, I'm not asking for it anyway, which is ridiculous to even consider that. But I just feel like I have to let that out there. Like, I mean, I don't start these things. I don't go out of my way to find this kind of drama. But I'm just, you know, one of the lucky people that attracts it, I guess. An old friend of mine used to say that drama follows me like Pigpen's dirt cloud. And it made me laugh, but I don't like that happens. But, you know, whatever, it happens. And so I was just going to let it go. And I just wanted people to know, the people that I had in common with him on Facebook, I just wanted them to know. So I shared some of it just to say, listen, there's still like 150 of you in common. Just, you know, keep an eye on this guy, just to hold him accountable, just to put it out there. And the thing that ended up being like super triggering for me was that a lot of people kept saying, be careful, which I wasn't being uncareful. I was out of the state at the time, so I wasn't really worried about it. But also, like, I wasn't doing anything that I know people were just being nice, but to be constantly told to be careful just made me feel like, you know, like that I was like an idiot. And I know that's not people's intention, but that honestly was just how I felt. Like, oh, be careful. I'm like, what could I possibly do to avoid conflict with this person besides stay home? And even then, you know, who knows? But I wasn't afraid, and I'm not afraid. And I couldn't be careful, or I couldn't be more careful. There's really nothing that I can do at this point. And then the other thing that was super triggering was that people kept saying to me that I should get a restraining order, that I should file for an order of protection. And I said to the first few people that told me this that I have been down that path before, and I know how completely futile it can be to attempt to get something like this. As somebody who was assaulted by a partner, trying to get something like that is nearly impossible. And so I ended up getting more upset about, because so many people just kept saying it. And somebody actually said to me, they're like, no, it's different. Because I said, listen, 20 years ago, I tried that. And what happened was I was trying to leave the situation and I was thrown up against a wall. And I was trying to call a cab to leave, and he kept slapping the phone out of my hand, and I kept picking it up and he would slap it down again. And so I picked it up and I dialed 911 as quick as I could and just held it up so he could see that it was ringing 911. And he looked at me and he said, I can't believe you called the cops on me. And he turned and he walked away, and I hung up the phone. I spoke with the police and I said, I need somebody to help me. He's not letting me leave. I'm frightened. I'm concerned. And they said that they would send a patrol car, and it felt like an hour. It felt just way too long. I waited. I called a cab. And I was like, whatever comes first. And the cab came first, and I got in the cab and I left. And the next day I called the police and I tried to get an order of protection against this person who had physically assaulted me multiple times before this. And they said, do you have any like police reports on record? And I said, well, I did call the police last night. And they said, what happened? And I said, well, I called and blah, blah, blah. And they said somebody was coming. And I said, and then I called a cab and the cab came first. So I thought it was best to get in the cab and go. And the police officer said to me, you should have waited for the police. And I said, okay, next time I call you, I'll wait for you to get there. Like whatever might happen in that time. But I get that the police have a difficult job. This is not bashing the police. This is not one of those things or anything like that. I'm sure they had very serious matters to attend to that particular evening. I'm not getting into that whole fucking argument. I swear to God, I'm not. But the idea of saying to me that I should have stayed in the dangerous situation, but also applying that to me basically not being able to have any case against this person who had assaulted me. Years later, another partner, separate situation, similar things happening. It wasn't until he sent me an email threatening to come to where I worked. And because I happened to work for an attorney at that time, that was the only time I was ever able to get an order of protection. And it was because of who I knew. I got to like basically like, and I kind of feel bad about it. I feel like a, like privileged or something that I was able to, you know, like circumvent the proper channels to get what I needed to get. But it was because he did say, he was like, he said something, he described the security guard in my building. And he was like, do you think I'm afraid of that guy? I'll plow right through him. I think he like threatened to do something violent to him. And that was actually what helped me get the order of protection. And then minutes after he was served with it, he called me anyway and said, do you think this is going to stop me? But eventually it did. Eventually he just, you know, he got tired out or he met somebody else. I don't know what happened, but he finally just left it alone. But I mean, I had tried to get one multiple times leading up to that after like leaving him, after he broke into my apartment. I woke up with him sitting next to my bed on the floor. You can't just call a number and get an order of protection. And I guess deep down, I was kind of happy for all of these people that they didn't have that information. I know that probably sounds weird, but I was grateful that so many people didn't know how hard it is to get one, because it means that they never had to try and get one. And I'm honestly over the moon that there are that many people that don't know. I know that sounds silly and stupid and crazy, but I am. I was like, thank God you've never had to go through this experience, that you think that you can just call a number, state your case, and get it. But again, because somebody said, oh, it's different now, blah, 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 just get something on record. Against my better judgment, I did. I called and I talked to an officer that has worked specifically with this man for a while now. And he was very like, oh, yeah, that's him. Like, I could almost feel his eyes rolling. And he was just like, well, yeah, unfortunately, you know, he goes, we can send somebody over, but, you know, then you run the risk of him getting madder at you. And I was like, well, why do you have to say that it's me? Like, is he going to know that it's me? And they're like, well, we'll probably have to tell him why we're there. And I was like, you don't, though. Like, he did this publicly. You can say anything. You could literally say anything. And he's like, all right, well, we'll see what we can do. And I'm just like, what? How are these my options? So I guess they sent somebody over. They left my name out of it. They told him that people had saw some of his stuff online and told him that he needed to cool it. And he agreed to cool it. And I've since blocked him and, you know, alerted the other people that I had in common with him. And I haven't heard anything. And I'm not worried. I've been going out tomorrow, going out the day after that. My schedule is still public. I'm not concerned. what was funny was some of the suggestions that they gave me for upcoming shows. They said to have the venue beef up security. I'm flattered that he thinks I'm like fucking Beyonce or something. But, you know, he was just like, oh, he goes, the next place you play, bring a picture of the guy and give it to security. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll give it to the bouncer at the ice cream place that I host an open mic at. Like, are you kidding me? Like, anyway, it's just a very frustrating thing. But what ended up being more upsetting to me than the threats themselves from this loser was going through that situation again of having to talk to the cops and having them be blasé and aloof about it and having them just, and again, I'm not bashing cops, but they're just probably very tired and like, you know, there's not much that they can do. So I don't think that they're being insolent with me. I just think that they're like, there's nothing we can do. Like, they're bound by law. So, I mean, the law would probably have to change before anything else. They could be a little, you know, a little gentler, I guess, when they're talking to me. I'm sure I sound hysterical, and I'm just glad that they didn't ask me if I was having my period or anything. But overall, it was an unpleasant experience to relive that whole calling and going through and telling the story multiple times for zero reason. But it's done. It's done now. And it's fine. But I just wanted to talk about it because I was trying to share it in a way to diffuse messages. And like, I even put up a post. I go, thank you everybody for your concern. I'm fine. Like, please, you don't need to suggest things. You don't need to worry about me. You don't need to message me. And that made people worry more. So I just started taking everything down. I was like, I really didn't want that kind of attention. I just wanted people to be aware of this human being. And, you know, whatever. So that's my story. That was not my week. I'm not going to even say that that was my week because my week was honestly incredible. I got to travel. I did kind of a last hurrah before the summer hits and things get a little crazy. Like I said, I'm not going to be performing as much as I normally do, but I have something else coming up that's going to take up quite a bit of time, but I'm really very excited about it. But I got to go spend about 6 days in the desert, which I, as a girl who's grown up in upstate New York, I still haven't been able to put my finger on why I am so drawn to and relaxed in Southwestern United States, like Moab, Utah, and Sedona, Arizona, and all points in between, Santa Fe, parts of Colorado. It's I just love it. It's the best thing about it. Not the best thing, but one of the funniest things is that you really start to forget what humidity feels like until you get back. The second you get off that plane, you're like, all right. Like, I went on the news this morning to promote my show for tomorrow, which I'll talk about in a second. And I was joking with the newscaster because I was like, where's all the women at? And he said, well, he's like, you know, Jill left and Stephanie's on maternity leave and Jill was the old weather person. And I was like, I go, are you hiring? Kidding, of course. I was like, you hiring? I was like, I could do the weather. I was like, I could, you know, I could make shit up too. And I'd probably be just as right as anybody else that does it. And then I joked that, I always forget to turn that off. I joked that I could give a humidity report just by showing my hair. And luckily he didn't bring that back up once we were on the air, which was very nice of him, but he laughed pretty hard right before we went on. Anyway, this is going to be Wednesday. I mean, I'm recording it Tuesday night. I don't know why I always feel the need to be honest because I'm not good at lying and I always have to correct myself when I say dates and times and whatnot. But big doings coming up. Tonight is my 1 year anniversary of Women Aren't Funny. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's been a year already. I love UPH. I love that they've let me do this for this long, that, you know, of all the places that I've worked, when I always say to somebody, it's like, we have to make it a regular thing so that it gets momentum, so that it picks up speed, so that it's something that people can set their watch to. And I always give the same spiel to places, and some places are like all for it. And then, you know, they have 1 month where it doesn't go well and they're like, yeah, we tried. And I'm like, you just, you know, that's not how things work, unfortunately. And I'm so grateful to UPH and Proctor's for giving me this amazing opportunity and trusting me and letting it go every month for a year. And, you know, more to come. Like, if you're around, I think they're going to release a few more tickets. It's officially sold out online, but I messaged the executive director, my good buddy, Teddy Foster, and she said that they can fit more. And so they're going to release a few more. So by the time you're hearing this, if you didn't get your tickets yet and you want to, I would check. I'll make a post or something, because I don't know what time they're going to do that, and I don't want to bother her anymore, and I would be happy with the amount of people we have anyway. But if you want to come, we'll make it happen. There's going to be cupcakes, and I believe that they made a specialty mocktail in honor of me, and I hope it's delicious. But I don't know. What would a mocktail that's reflective of me be? I think tart. Sorry, I'm running on fumes. I got in at 12:30 in the morning, got home, tried to wind down, fell asleep around 2, got up at 6 to do the news, went and started working on this new project, which I think I'll be able to talk about next week. I'm pretty sure I'll be able to announce it by then. And I was only supposed to stay at that office for an hour, and I was there until 4 o'clock, just cranking out the good vibes, and I'm so excited. It's great and fulfilling, and I'm so excited to share it with all of you. And it will, believe it or not, help keep me honest with my podcast. So I am going to be back. I'm pretty sure next week. It will be more regular, though, I promise. And I have some really great guests coming up and some fun stories to talk about and such good stuff to share. This Sunday, we have Pride in Washington Park. Hark in the Park. We're playing the Pride Festival for the second year in a row. I love this festival. I love Pride. It was such a blast last year. I was watching videos of last year and just like, the energy is just off the chain. It's so much fun. It's wonderful. Come out, support, be an ally. It's just come dance and have a good time. And then next week, next Thursday, we are doing a live at 5. And again, it's my cover band, Hark. But this time we'll be playing classic rock covers, opening for a band called Dokken. And I just keep laughing because, I mean, it's literally like the polarity from one genre to the next. Like, if you saw like our set list on Sunday compared to our set list on Thursday, you would definitely think like I was losing my mind. But, you know, you do what the job asks, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I love the songs that I picked for both of these things. We're going to just have a really, really good time. And so that is Thursday the 13th. If you're in Syracuse, I'm coming out with my friend Karen Rontowski to do a little psychic stand-up on Wednesday, June 12th. I know I'm backtracking. I'm all over the place. But as you guys know, everything is on erinharks.com. Go ahead and sign up for the mailing list if you feel like it. I usually send out some free tickets to lovely people when they do that. It's going to be a fun week. Also, Friday, this Friday, I'm really going completely out of order. Friday, what is that, the 7th? The band's going to be up at the Lake George Beach Club, probably practicing for Pride and Alive at 5. So you get a sneak preview if you're up there, if you want to come. Again, all the info, erinharks.com. This has been the Mistress of None. I'm going to cut it short because I'm hitting a wall and it's time for me to go to bed. But thank you all so much for tuning in. And I love you, and I will see you next week. I'm making a promise. Even if I don't have a guest, I'm going to be back next week. But I appreciate all of you. Especially shout outs to Jihan and Michael, because you guys send me little messages after you listen to my podcast, and it just warms the cold cockles of my heart. I appreciate you too. I appreciate all of you. Thank you guys so much. I love you all. This has been the Mistress of None, and we will see you soon.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.